yes, welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here on the road to Anglesey with Peter Hellyer.
G'day.
That's him. And Brad Oakes in the back.
Hello.
How unusual for you to be in the back seat, Brad, again.
I know.
How many debriefs have you done, Brad?
I'd be in double figures.
Yeah, you probably would be. We do a lot of gigs together.
There's probably somebody out there who's counting.
Yeah, there'd be some nerd who... Anyway, it's good to be... It's January. Can't be bothered finishing my sentences. And we're driving down to Anglesey. And it's like a Friday night, so there'll be a lot of holiday people there. Holiday makers.
Yeah.
You'd hope so.
And Pete's back from Byron Bay.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't asked you too, because you were featured in the news. Because you made a rude gesture in...
It's funny how we've been driving for like an hour and you haven't mentioned it. You start recording, ask me about...
Yeah, ask you about the controversial...
Some controversy.
Chris, so you're on stage at a...
I didn't know about this until somebody told me yesterday. I was on stage with Chris Hemsworth doing a...
The
Bushfire benefit. And he donated a workout. I think him and his wife.
With his
Elsa.
Wife, yeah, that's right.
And I think I said, "Can you just pay
to watch?"
And then I made a wink, and I made a wanking gesture.
Which what a good got
yeah.
a good laugh.
Admittedly, I kind of it got a great laugh in the room. Yeah,
of course.
I've just been told that it's kind of out there. Like it kind of.
Yeah, someone must have filmed it, and of course, it was. I think the Daily Mail picked up on it.
Of course. I'd completely forgotten that I'd done that. I mean, it was a great night.
I don't think it's really built to the controversy.
No, it doesn't feel like the fact that I didn't know about it.
Yeah, and no one's ringing you for comment.
No, it doesn't feel controversial.
Oh, it'll probably take off now. It's
been on the debrief.
No, yeah,
no. Unbelievable.
The whole thing was a fucking trap.
That guy's putting down his notes, going back to count how many episodes Brad Oakes has appeared on to go, no, fuck, hang on, boys.
It is a slightly weird thing, though, of when and it wasn't a comedy night. There were, bands.
Yeah.
Banning Tim Rogers, Tex Perkins.
Well, you just crashed it,
yeah? Yeah, I wasn't scheduled to be on. I was just there. I went, and I was hanging out with those guys, and Hendro said, "You want to get on?" And then they said, "Yeah, we need a bit of time to fill."
So did you do stand up?
No, I didn't do stand up.
No, bugger that.
Because I'd said to,
did you interview Hemsworth? That's what I'd
say. Oh, I went out and basically said I was Chris Hemsworth for a few minutes, did all that stuff, and then flexed the guns, and then he came out behind me and flexed his guns in the crowd.
Yeah, they went crazy for him. Yeah.
Where was that at?
That was at Byron Bay Hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great. They had two nights there. I went the second night. But it was great. But it is that weird kind of thing of people filming stuff in nightclubs, as comedy nights and then it becoming something else.
That's no good.
I've always felt that stand-up comedy is the last bastion of free speech.
You don't want to film.
And what happens in the room should stay in the room because it's so much context. I'm not talking specifically about that joke.
Well, Chris Rock said it ruined doing small gigs and stuff for him because it's, there's people just holding their phones up.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, I'm trying to work out material here.
Things aren't finished necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was that case where they went to the Louis C.K. gigs and taped all his stuff.
Well, he was, all his stuff was being reported. Imagine,
imagine if they came to every one of our gigs. Fucking hell.
Yeah. It'd be good for numbers.
Yeah. And it'd just be like, then he picked on a kid down the front and,
You have to be allowed to be a little bit loose in that moment. And not worry about what it's going to read like in print a week later.
Yeah. It did bring back a memory because I was involved in this vaguely because we interviewed Toni Perrin after your Logie's joke about her.
Yes.
When you...
Yes. Well, I mean, I knew there were cameras in the room that night.
Yes. And you said, I just saw Pink backstage, who she was on the bill, Pink. And then you made a joke about Toni Perrin's short dress.
Yeah, no, I said, Rove said, Pink's, what a great performer she is. I said, no, Toni Perrin, Tony Berry is wearing a short skirt as she tripped over backstage. I remember doing the joke. It got nothing, deservingly so. It wasn't a great gag, and this is about 12 years ago.
Long time
and
ago.
I remember walking back into the room, and Denise Drysdale is shaking her head at me, and I get along with Denise really well. It's like she was disappointed in me.
Yeah, it's son.
And the chaser boys came up to me and they said, "We weren't pissing ourselves laughing." I said, "I don't think you were. I would have fucking heard it."
Yeah. Well, what happened was that then on Monday we interviewed Tony Perrin on the phone, and he's like, "Oh no, she wants to talk about the joke. She wants to," and then he's talking to her during the thing, and he's going, "Tony, it's all right, love. No, just," and he's put her on hold. Man, she's melting down. She thinks her nana might hear it. She thinks a nana might hear the So she usually had to talk her down about.
Yeah.
She thinks a nana's going to hear us. No, Tony, it's all. No.
Yeah. That was a fun one.
You're not really that controversial though.
No.
Yeah,
and
where you'd be if you hadn't done.
And well, I'm so uncontroversial that, like.
I suppose when you do something like that, they go, oh.
Well, what's often happened, we've noticed the project, when news.com sometimes write about the show, they will actually write, if something's happened on the show, they sometimes write me out of being in that moment.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. There's one happened this week. With Steve Price.
Why? Because it's not fun? Because it's not funny?
I have no idea. I'm not sure if it's strange, if it's just weirdly.
They don't want a comedian involved.
I don't know, but. Steve Price had a really kind of misguided rant against Jacinda Ardern, and I kind of took him to task on the show. I said, mate, she's allowed a holiday here because her country's not on fire. As opposed to, he was trying to say, Scott Morrison should be allowed to do what he, holds over.
Yeah, that's because it doesn't serve their purposes. Yeah. That's why
they attributed all my quotes to Peter Van Osselen, who was hosting the show.
Okay.
And I think it's just more weird.
Well,
I don't
lazy,
quite
maybe.
It.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Well, it's lazy. I mean, yeah, it's certainly lazy.
It's journalist snobbery too.
You're a comedian.
You're not an accredited journalist.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. It's just kind of strange.
Well, it doesn't.
It's just strange.
Yeah, you get up and do a wanking gesture next to Hemsworth, and it's front page news of the Daily Mail.
Well, they did one where we had a joke. We did a joke of the project where there was, when the security at Marvel Stadium was getting a bit over the top.
Yes.
One week,
yep.
Supposedly so, and they were kicking people out of the. Apparently, by the way, the same amount of people were getting kicked out. It just that Channel 7 just happened to film all these people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had a thing where I got. One of our writers, Pete Jones, fantastic comedian.
Very good comic, yes.
He came and in his security, like high vis, and basically kicked me out after I made a joke about somebody.
Yeah, good one.
And it was very funny. It went great. The audience liked it. Got a great reaction. Daily Mail actually ran the headline, Hallier gets kicked out of his own show. And actually had like Pete Jones on the high vis vest. It actually is printed and on the wall in our writer's room. And it's just like, really? Like, I mean, you're not sure if they're just being like, if they just don't care.
Or they don't
get it. And I'm not sure which one's worse.
Yeah, you wonder. I always wonder about the 50-50 letters in the Herald Sun, because my dad is a serial writer. I took photos of him the other night because they're so. He's got a thing against cyclists, and Jeff. But I asked the guy at the Herald Sun once who worked there, is the guy in on the joke or is he just not?
Yeah.
But he reckons he was a bit in on the joke.
Right.
Because when I worked on radio, we used to try and get letters in there, and occasionally we would get some printed that were just ridiculous. Like the one I got printed was, why are oranges called oranges and bananas not called yellows? Now I am confused.
Right.
And they printed that in 50-50. So I reckon the guy's having a laugh. You'd think so.
Particularly the way they typeset, they might just go, we need another inch and a half.
Yeah, true.
Bam, this bit,
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
true. It's very true. Oh, God.
No, I'm thinking about letters to Playboy.
Oh, penthouse letters.
Penthouse,
Oh, man, I was talking about it the other day with Glenn Robbins on another podcast. I was always like, I was singing at home, and then I heard a noise, and I looked, the Swedish water polo team had broken down outside my house and asked to use the bathrooms. Like, yeah, did this really happen? I don't think it did.
Yeah. And, you know, they've always got really large penises.
Yeah. Well, but you know the dodgy version of that was Truth newspaper, which my granddad had bought for the racing guide, right? Only the racing guide.
Heart balm.
That's right. Which was like a low rent version of.
Yeah.
It was like I met this girl at Kmart, and next thing you know.
Yeah. One thing led to another.
Yeah. They love it.
Yeah. Generally written by people who didn't know what thing led to the next thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, we're on the way to Anglesey, so it's going to be an absolute...
Be a cracker tonight.
Be a cracker. It'll be good. I've done this before, and they are great. Brad's done it before, and they are great, because they're in a good mood.
Yeah.
Because they're on holidays.
Well, I would say, I think we've discussed that before. I always think that it's... Sometimes it's hard to actually get them to go to the gigs, because
they're
in a good mood, you know? Like,
yeah, it's true. We'll blame that when 40 people turn up. Fucking caravan park's too good tonight, guys.
Well, there is that really shitty little bun fair down there.
Oh, I don't know if the fair's there. It wasn't there last week when I drove past.
No.
The carny.
Oh, look out.
The carny.
The weather's perfect, though. It's not too hot, so it's not,
It's great for comedy.
A bit darker, maybe.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll be dark.
That'll take care of itself, I reckon.
It'll be right.
Keeps
all right, we'll keep listening. We will return after the gig, and you'll hear how it
anyone,
went.
Before we, I know that you're hooking it, so I'm unprofessional to kind of come in. But is anyone doing anything new, like anything that you're anticipating tonight? Anything
that we're going to wonder if it's going to work?
Yeah.
On off.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I've got a new joke that I've just been doing it in tryout rooms. I haven't really released it into the
mainstream.
Tonight might be the night.
Which is because I don't know if it's too harsh or not, but I was cleaning the bath and I couldn't get a stain out. You know, I just scrubbed, and I thought I'm really gonna stop shitting in the bath.
Yeah, that'll be.
I
fine.
Like it. Okay, we're gonna find out how that goes tonight. I might try. I'm gonna do some ScoMo stuff, but
you're gonna do
some ScoMo stuff.
ScoMo.
I'm gonna stop shitting on ScoMo.
All right, we'll keep listening. And we're back on the debrief. Brad Oakes tells us a very not disturbing, but story about. Someone. Walking in on a celebrity couple having sex. Pretty good. Pretty good story.
We say walking in, I say swinging in on a rope through a window.
Right. We just did the Anglesey Hotel and it was a triumph.
Great gig.
Pete and Brad were very funny. Des Dowling was holidaying down here, jumped up. He was very funny.
Very funny.
And it was a great gig.
And Dave, you were very funny too. And, I know it's hard to mention it yourself. So I want to say it.
You say what?
I want people to know too that if I didn't say it, then it would have meant that you weren't.
I wasn't.
It would have been awful.
I wasn't going to say it because I
didn't. No, you didn't believe it. I don't believe it myself.
Well, no, you did a great job as always.
Now,
just here, thanks, Dave.
You're going to stay with Des in the caravan park, and of course we have to talk about the Brad's joke.
Yes.
You're shitting in.
Oh, we're going straight into that, are we?
Well, that was the hook.
Do you know, I know, but I feel like.
And I think we have similar opinions on the result.
I think you did it very early in the set.
This is why I think this is so ironic, because I said to Pete when I during the break, I said, I reckon I did it too early, and he went, me and Dave exactly said you did it too early, right? And I think it's ironic because I think we've brought it up too early. Yeah.
I went to Dave a few minutes apart.
I was banging the table.
He's pulled the trigger early.
Oh, I have indeed.
But sometimes I like doing you
first.
Early. Early. I still think you did it probably too early, but I generally like maybe sometimes doing it early. Like.
Okay, so good. I explain my motives, the reason why. You know, I'm not all that haphazard on stage. What happened was, I immediately, my first joke, which I can't even remember, my first joke went that well, I thought.
Serving safari.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Take it to the back.
That was a joke.
I'll take it back 2 steps, right? You had them. Like, we knew straight away watching you that it was going to be...
Me.
An enjoyable gig.
Yeah, they were a fun holiday crowd.
Okay, and so what I've done is I've broken my own rules. My rules are always, I never start with new stuff, right? Unless it's absolutely brilliant. And
or topical, maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes do a little topical.
Well, Dez did a smoke on the smoking joke about the beach, because they closed the beach here. That went over very well.
I did one. I was doing a gig in Altona last year, and it was. You remember when
I don't have bragging about gigs in Altona, right? We've all done gigs in Altona.
Yes, Julia Gillard was there. We know.
Do you remember when Frankston Pier broke off?
Oh yes.
And floated past.
Yes.
Right, and I said to the audience that Frankston Pier was about to float past down the end of the street.
Nice. Right?
Perfect time.
Nice, yeah.
It was brilliant. It was mentioned in some of the joke circles that you two don't know about. Huh. Anyway, and...
come on, buddy. You can overtake.
So, what happened was, I broke one of my own rules, which was that the first joke went so well, I thought, oh, God, we've put this on the agenda for the podcast. I need to do it now before I get sidetracked.
Yeah, right.
And I did it, and my first thought was too early. Right?
Yeah.
And then, but something else Pete said when we were talking about it. Remember what you said?
Yes, I said, so the joke being that you're trying really hard to get these stains out, but I thought, and people will know because they can go back and listen to that, but I thought you said, these weird brown stains in my bath. I can't get these stains out. I've been trying really hard, but maybe I just got to stop shitting in the bath. So the mentioning of the brown stains, as I say it, like I'm not sure if I'm right. Maybe that telegraphs it.
Don't say brown.
Wow, see, we're not
but
sure.
But he didn't
now.
Say brown.
Oh, he said stains.
He just said stains.
No, we're not sure now.
I reckon you could slow it down. I reckon you could say. I reckon you, which often is the case with new material.
Oh,
no,
I rush through. You're saying I rush through.
Everyone rushes through like new material, I think.
True.
And then, I mean, you get the confidence, you kind of relax.
Slow down a bit,
But I think you could kind of say, yeah, I got this weird kind of brown stain in my butt. I can't get out of it. I've been trying to get these stains, bloody stains. I just cannot get it off.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to stop shitting in the bath.
Yeah.
Round of applause, standing ovation, thank you, good night.
Yeah.
Netflix special closed.
Shitting bath.
Shitting bath.
Netflix special.
Well, you did a shitting in your pants routine.
I'm
the only one who didn't do shitting. I'm very disappointed.
I always say shitting. There's always shitting in my
Des did shit material too. Material about shit.
Yeah. So, can we conclude this, right?
Yes.
I don't want to preempt what might come later, but I think that in terms of rushing it, I am. I might have rushed it, but I felt like half the people got it.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Watching it, it's definitely a joke. Like it's definitely something to persist with. And you kind of saved it with the old, you know, like, or is that just me? We got a big laugh. So you actually, you know, you kind of
What I'm concerned about preempting is that I felt like because there was no really good front of house light, hard to keep your face.
We should mention that, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
we should mention that.
Hard to keep your face in the light, and so I also wondered whether or not I stepped forward into the dark.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because I think that if you have lighting problems, it's better to do setups in the dark, but do punchlines in the light.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I may have, and if I was transitioning, if I was going from light to dark, that's even worse, right? Because it's almost like going. And then I said, bruh, 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 you know, like it changes focus.
I think you should mime having a crap. I think that's. She's doing an act.
Or doing an act actually down. Have a shit on stage. Yeah. Well, just take it to the next level, Oaks. Yeah. You've always been the avant-garde, you know, like, you know, pushing the limits of where comedy can go. Yeah, take right. a shit on stage.
And all right, well, I'll go straight back at both of you. I'll go, okay, so I don't do one kind of shit. Right. Which one am I going to mind?
A quick one.
I'm going to do that. Look, I'm talking to two parents in there. I'm going to do it. Oh my God, I've just got to get this out really quickly before those kids kill each other.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to do that one of you. Oh my God, I'm here in this hotel,
yeah.
Darwin, for 3 days.
Yeah, I can take my time.
First thing I'm going to do is have the best shit I've ever
had. Yeah, yeah, get the newspaper, relax into it. Right? That's what I'd do. There's nothing like sitting on the toilet and your kid walking in. Like, I used to do a routine. My son walked in once with a cup and a pot, carton of milk. He's like, "Can I have a glass of milk, Dad?" I'm like, "He goes, it smells in here." I'm like, "Yes, it's a toilet."
But my wife, they tend to come to me, but my wife, when she takes a dump, it's like a press conference. The kids are like surrounded, like firing questions.
Oh, it's terrible. I swear, when we moved into a new house, the new 10 years ago, we got a lock on the bathroom door and they couldn't open the door. It was like the gates of hell, you know, when they're banging on the door and screaming when you're in the toilet. We can't open the door, Dad!
And then they had a tunnel committee.
Yes. Trojan horse, you know, kind of. Crazy.
I did a little gentle tease. It wasn't as full on as, but I did some ScoMo stuff.
Yeah, your ScoMo stuff was good.
Yeah.
The egg.
Which is about rocking off his head. And that's when we knew something was wrong with him. You can throw an egg at his head and it kind of just bounce off. So.
How good is
that? You know, and I reckon you can even be more dramatic when you do that, like, sell that even more, like,
What was really nice about it was the because Egg Boy got all the attention. I do an Egg Boy routine, which and I've done that before, so that was a lock. But the recognition, because Egg Girl was not as prominent.
No,
you know, but because you didn't.
Was there an Egg Girl? Oh, that was a girl who did ScoMo.
Yeah,
it was a girl.
Yeah, she
right,
threw
okay,
an egg
right,
at this bounce
yeah.
of his head,
and then there was. Easter egg girl.
Not as successful.
No.
Yeah, right. Well, ScoMo, I mean, it's just, he's so, I think Tom Gleason had the best line. He looks like a temporary prime minister. He's like an emergency teacher.
Yeah.
You know, but now he's got in permanently for the time being.
Well,
so
this is the overarching thing. Is I was saying to somebody yesterday that where they're not necessarily coping is this is a, group of people who didn't think they were going to be in power when all this shit happened.
Well, he looks...
So they had no plans. But can I just use the phrase that I coined, the unrequited handshake?
Just yanking hands out of pockets. Just shake them.
Seriously, you know, it's just... It sits, you know, it's just like...
It's awkward.
Why won't you let me shake your hand? I'm just not into you. It's
Do you reckon the bushfires has damaged him for a while?
Not completely.
You reckon that's
what?
But you know, there's not another election.
The trouble,
next year.
Like,
March,
I'm not necessarily thinking about it in terms of like, this is, you know, he won't get re-elected. Like he might. Like, it changes. It could change that quickly.
Who knows?
It was amazing that he was elected in the first place, considering where they were.
Exactly.
It was a shock
that's
to everyone.
That's a very good point.
So who knows? But.
Wasn't Bill? Bill was going to lead us out of the wilderness.
Well, the thing about this is like a watershed moment in this nation's history, and he cannot run from his failings on this. And this doesn't get knocked off the front page anytime soon.
Yeah.
Because they say these fires could still be going on for months, and also, sadly, and. Let's hope it's not true, but next summer this might be just as bad or worse.
Oh, that's and
every summer might be fucking like
this. It's terrible that summer's changed.
Yeah,
terrible.
Can we just make the distinction that it specifically is fires, but generically it's crisis, right? So this could be a flu epidemic, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it could be an ice age even, right? And I'm sure you can redirect it and say, well, there's this other factor. But it isn't about whether or not... it's not necessarily about a specific thing, which is, of course, a thing. It's about how you respond to it.
Scammy!
Yeah.
Have you met him? I've met him.
Yeah, I got
you would have had him on radio. You would have had him on TV. Well,
on the project, but then I...
He's a big unit.
I used to go to... I did a couple of years.
His rallies.
No, I did a couple of years of going... going to
Canola Beach.
The budget lockout.
Oh, did you?
Parliament House, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was
me and Brad are a bit of political junkies. I would love that to go to that.
Oh, it was pretty great.
Dave, I sold about $15,000 worth of cocaine in there.
Did you talk to ScoMo at those things?
Yeah. And he would come over and
bit of a comedy fan.
And he gave me a signed Cronulla. Sharks.
Gay sharks.
I must say, I did donate that to a brotherhood bin. But to be honest...
Do you know about his Collingwood jumper?
My Collingwood jumper, I auctioned that at the school fete. And Shannon bought it. He reminds me that he bought it, a big Collingwood fan.
So we did a gig. We did a gig for the Collingwood Football Club.
On this podcast.
On this podcast. And,
I got a great routine out of that gig, though. I got a great routine how I take the jumper, the cash converters... And I say to the guy, not just any cash converters, Pete, Smith Street, Collingwood, where the Collingwood fans roam. I say to the guy, put it in the window, let's see how much we get. And he rings me up 10 minutes later, your jumper's gone. What'd we get? No, they stole it.
Collingwood.
I mean, how did the guy at cash converters have your number?
Pete, don't ask questions.
No,
I don't believe it.
It didn't happen. They sold it at the school auction.
Pete, there's two Collingwood men in this car who are appalled about it.
My dad's Collingwood. My brother's
pull
Collingwood.
Over here, Dave O'Neill, you're going fucking missing.
Hey, right? you can't kick me out of my own car. Now, my older brother, he said to me, I can't believe you didn't tell me you were doing that gig. He goes, I would have flown over from Brisbane to go along with you.
Because
he would absolutely dream to meet any of those guys. Any of them.
How could you do that to your dad?
Kev.
The jumper.
Oh, no, he didn't want it. Kev's got a lot of stuff.
With O'Neill written on the back.
Oh, that's true. Actually, I should have given it to...
I should have given it
to Trev. My older brother would have loved it. The one in Brisbane.
Yeah.
God, even people who spell it differently. O-N-A-E-L.
We buy it off Shannon.
We should talk about the lighting tonight.
Oh, okay. Lighting's very important. We'll talk about that. We'll get that in my questions.
What worked and what didn't go well.
But we should talk, Pete, about... You've got a sitcom coming back on?
Yes, How to Stay Married. It will be, I reckon, somewhere...
Is that a sitcom or is it a rom-com?
It's a narrative comedy, they call it these
narrative
days.
Narrative comedy, yeah.
Oh, it's a narcom.
It's a sitcom.
Be around the mid-year, I would suggest.
Right.
I
don't know. How many episodes, you know?
8 episodes. Myself, Lisa McCune, the wonderful comic Nikki Britton, who's...
Oh, Nikki Britton, brilliant. She's funny in it. Yeah. And you've got also those...
Jennifer Lloyd.
Those guys from...
Judith Lucy.
I walked past where it shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were great. Brad, you nailed that.
Geraldine Higgy return or?
Nah, Geraldine's not.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you called me.
In this.
And so that's, I mean, to get a sitcom on a commercial network is remarkable.
Well, that was remarkable, and then to get a second season was
that's an achievement.
It's almost, it's funny, because Phil Lloyd is also in the show, and he is...
He's from
somebody pointed out that we might be the only two people, comics, to have had two sitcom. Like created a sitcom that has actually done two seasons in like the last 20 years on the commercial network.
What did he do?
He did. He created the Habibs. Yeah,
that's right. But he's also the great one at Christmas time. He did that.
The Moody's. Yeah, that was on the ABC. I mean, yeah. Lots of comics got stuff on the ABC.
Biting my tongue here, but anyway.
Why? Were you in Colin Carpenter?
Well, no.
I love Colin Carpenter.
Paulie Fenix, written 3.
Oh, that's SBS, though.
No, I'm talking commercial. So I'm talking commercial networks.
I'm talking 9, 7, and 10.
I'm talking commercial networks.
Anyway, that's good.
And the point being,
niche. That's niche.
The point being, the lack of, you know, like There needs to be more comedy on.
Commercial TV, more narrative comedy, because it's left up to the ABC.
Well, yeah, but that's got to be down to the audience, because really, it's not like anybody's having trouble pitching reality TV.
Yeah.
The trouble is, half hours are really tricky
to program. And
can I just?
And they're expensive.
Yeah.
Can I just pitch very quickly?
Yeah.
My idea that, well, it's not.
Well, we're not TV executives, but go on.
No, but there may be some listening.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, all right, you go. Go for it.
I've got this idea for, it's...
Oh, it's been done.
It's part drama, part comedy,
yeah.
Right, part reality TV, yeah. Right? What it is that somebody takes about 12 stand-up, open mic stand-up comedians hostage, all right?
Yeah.
And there's a siege. And they have to do their comedy, and every time it's shit, they get executed.
Yes.
Well, I reckon that's a great idea, Brad. Thanks for coming in.
Brad, actually,
do you reckon 12's not enough? Maybe 24?
Do you just want to kill some people?
I can see the genre's jumping.
But you know what though? When we started comedy, there wasn't an open mic scene. Now it's a massive thing.
There were executions though, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. Look, we all have good ideas for TV shows, but we all just can't act on them.
It's not a no from either of you, is it?
No, it's not a no yet.
Not a no for me.
This way, Brad, I'm not turning my chair around, am I?
Well, all right.
If it's Shark Tank, I'm out. There's no money from me.
You turn that microphone off,
Martin. Okay, mic off. And of course, you're doing the festival,
Pete. Yeah, doing a show called Loopy. Which,
man, I don't know how you get the time. If you've just done the sitcom, you're doing the project, you've got three kids. You've got a good work ethic.
Oh yeah, well, I think we all have good work ethics. I think you can't do comedy and have a bad work ethic. But what I do with the stand-up show, and I was talking to Nazim Hussain the other day. I said, "How's your show coming along?" Because this is the time of year where we all ask each other, "How's the show coming along?" And he said, "Oh, I've got some trial dates coming up, trial shows." That night, I think he was doing it. He goes, "How's yours?" I said, "It's kind of done." But I always have to point out that I do a show every 2 years. That's my thing.
To
accommodate the project and the kids' books. Frankie Fish.
I thought you were going to say the kids, but you've added books on the end of that sentence.
Yeah, I know, the kids will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
I wrote a travel book with my wife, which will be out this year.
What about?
It's called Tripping with Kids. It's about encouraging travel with kids. Don't put it off, because the older you get, then your oldest all of a sudden is in year 11, they can't travel.
So my son's going to year 11. Is that your policy? They can't travel in year 11 or 12.
Yeah, I reckon you pretty much got license to travel whenever, up until the VCE or...
What? Okay, here's a question.
HSC, whatever it is.
What country did your kids enjoy the most? Because I know you've been to a few.
We love Boston.
Oh, God, sorry. I'm in the most middle-class fucking podcast I've ever been in my life.
Well, Brad, you can answer it now. Brad, what country town?
When you were a kid, Brad.
Was it Rosebud or Germana?
If you didn't have your child locked on, I would open this door and try and look out for
Rosebud. Just tell me. I want to hear the answer, though.
Worst question of ever.
Sorry. Well, I want to hear. Go on, tell me.
Now I'm not sure whether to answer, because you're a bastard. It's your podcast.
Answer it quickly.
I'll probably...
60Ks, Dave.
Thanks, Speedo.
Probably different for all of them. We did go to some Boston Celtics games in Boston, so that was very exciting for all of us. We saw LeBron James, saw Kyrie Irving play. Denmark, when they were younger, we went to Legoland, and they loved that. I've been there.
France, I caught my teenage son. Oh, I shouldn't do material. Urinating and smoking in an alley. He said, "I'm just trying to fit in, Dad."
When in Rome.
Brad, back to you.
Fuck me.
What did you prefer, Tarong or Montague, Brad?
Clang, clang, clang. Oh, right. Was it right?
Can I just say, I didn't initiate that conversation.
Yeah, I'm interested, though.
I initiated by talking about the...
Promoting Pete's book, Brad.
No.
Anyway.
Fuck you, O'Neill. You spent a lot of free years on me. Seriously.
But no, it's... Sorry, it's
this will be my last podcast.
You did that. So I got that. A new Frankie Fish coming out in March. Tour, Loopy, the project's on. How to Stay Married.
It's a lot of work. It's done. Brad, what about the guy buying you drinks because of this podcast?
Oh.
There's a guy buying you drinks. Yeah, what did he say to you?
That's impressive.
He said to me that, I said, it's not my podcast today, man. And he goes, no, he just drives you around.
I love that. He just thinks I'm like the Uber guy. Like, yeah. I love that podcast with the Brad Oakes guy and the other guy.
It was almost like a science fiction story where he manifested himself as something that I think.
Yeah. You imagine. I don't think that guy was real. Yeah.
People go, the debrief. I heard you on the debrief. And then they go, I heard somebody else on the debrief. And I go, I wasn't on that. No, I don't think that happened.
I reckon you paid that guy to turn up. He's like an out-of-work actor.
Out of all my money.
Okay, we'll ask the questions and then we can.
I don't have kids. I've been to Rome.
Rome's not that good, mate. Don't worry about Rome.
Rome's not that good.
Go to Naples.
It kills money. Rome's not that good, mate.
Go to Rome. Overrated.
How dare you.
What went well tonight and why, guys? What in your moon landing routine is very funny, Pete.
That's my big finisher, and it's what I did in Montreal. I did a few people were like, when I was prepping it, I thought of the routine. I thought, I'm going to do this in Montreal. I'm not going to do it, wait till I do a show. Usually you're going to be like, okay, what's the material that's worked for me in the last show? I thought, I'm just going to do it, and I just did about 20 gigs pretty much doing that routine. And it went great in Montreal.
Fantastic. So will we see it on TV at one point?
Yeah, it'll be on just for last.
There's the Australian one at the moment.
Not that one, but the.
Well, Brad and I have never done Just for Last, have we, Brad? So we're waiting for the invite.
But I did it in Frankston.
Just for Last.
It was just for laughs. Just for laughs.
I didn't get paid. I just did it just for laughs.
No, I woke up there.
Well, what didn't go well?
The lighting.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that's the next. Any organisational hazards get in the way? The lighting.
Yeah.
It was weird, the lighting, but there was no sort of stage lights, really.
Yeah, it basically looked like you're in a Soundgarden film clip. So there was shadows on faces if you're too far in front.
I felt like, though, to be honest, and I'm going to be quite controversial here, Peter.
Yeah, I think that one you might bring up.
I felt like Dave might have said, you know what, I reckon we'll get away with this, and we did.
Because what did you find in the...
all of us did quite well.
Oh, there was a light in the room.
There was a light in the room. God.
In the backstage, backstage area, there was a light.
It was like it looked like a spotlight. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see that till the end, light.
Oh, no, none of that. It was like...
Des Dowling was sitting near, in front of it.
You didn't see the... I saw these enormous... It was like the internet. These enormous arrows pointing into this...
Well, we could have put it up.
I mentioned it. Yeah, I remember you punched me in the throat and I couldn't talk.
All right, well, and also the stage creaked. Like, it did feel like it was going to collapse.
It was hilarious, wasn't it?
Yeah, and people in the front could hear it.
And not only that, when you're obviously overweight, it was a worry to them.
Did you hear it, Pete?
I didn't. I only did it for me and Brad.
Yeah,
Did it for me, Brad. I heard it. It was like a crack.
Fuck, it was hilarious. I had to bring it up with the people up in front.
Yeah, because I heard it.
You know that very attractive girl on the right?
Yeah, that was one of the nine children of
one of the Mormons.
Yeah, of Lyndon.
That's what you fucked up there too, right? You transitioned from Mormon to Amish.
I did.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now how can we do better next time?
Well,
fix the fucking lighting.
Fix the lighting, yeah.
Because, to be fair, we had a white... I haven't done that since 2017.
Yes.
and we had a lighting issue there.
Oh, right? Yeah, we did too. All right, well, next time.
And I think what you rely on there is you had good personnel. You know, I've done comedy for a while. I'm all right. Des, fabulous. You know what you're doing. Peter Hellier, master of so many mediums. But it would have been... It should be said to them, don't ever let that happen again. You
know? Yeah.
Them, not us. Them.
So, oh, them, yeah, okay, yeah.
Fix the lighting.
Fix the lighting, man.
Oaksy does shitting in the bath a little bit later in the routine. What does that... When you run your set list, Oaksy, what does that routine go on? The shit bath or shitting in the bath? Bath sheets?
I'm sorry,
stains?
I'm sorry, what was that? A set what?
Yeah, run a set list at all?
No, I just... Make shit up.
I've got you had a set list.
So quite often I make up shit I've made up before, but nevertheless,
it's all improvised.
I had one on stage.
How dare you? Next, you're going to be telling me Da Vinci had a box of paints.
God. All right, well, we're going to stop at a service station soon. I'm hungry, but.
So now we're in the car.
Thanks for coming in on the podcast.
Oaksy's just pissing in the back seat.
Oh, it's just Oaksy, isn't it? Yeah. I'll tell you what, don't you care.
The star of the Debrief podcast, Brad Oakes, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Hellier, thanks for coming on the podcast, guys.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
We'll keep driving.
It's been mostly good.